As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus Valriati with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and in today's discussion, we dive into the haunted and the strange all around us. From the paranormal to the spiritual, there is a thread that attaches one to the other, and sometimes you have to pull that thread to figure out exactly where they are truly tied. But before we get into this fantastic conversation today, got to run through the front of house stuff really quick. But before we get into that, of course, just some news and updates. The Cryptid Brawl Tournament March Madness event is currently happening. So if you guys aren't watching that on the feed, watching that on YouTube, highly recommend going and checking that out. Let us know what you guys think about it, because it may be a game that we want to keep pushing into the future, keep upgrading, keep making better. Maybe it's something we can do a couple times a year, but particularly this, more so than anything, we definitely want to get your guys' opinions and thoughts on it. And it is all part of Bizarre Inquiries, so while you're checking that out, while you're checking out the Cryptid Brawl Tournament, you might as well drop some of those questions, because as soon as this month is over and April starts up, we will be back into the normal format of Bizarre Inquiries, but till then, it is being taken over for March Madness. I just wanted to drop a quick PSA, considering that it is getting towards election time in November. It's all building up with all of the weird political angst. Just so everybody is fully aware, as far as the ads go on the show, I purposely try not to select certain ads, but they only have certain categories you can unclick, and there's people that will go around those and drop something in a category that's not actually supposed to be there. So I just wanted to put it out in the beginning of the show, let all of you know that all of the ads that you guys hear on the show, besides the four sponsors in the beginning, I have no idea what's getting played on the show, so I have no affiliation to any of those ads whatsoever. So don't think that any of them reflect any of my views on anything, any of my political views on anything. They're simply just ads, because unfortunately, with podcast. You know, the programs aren't all free, so I got to at least try to make it so that the show can somewhat withstand itself. But I just had to throw that out there so you guys know. As far as the ads go, you know, I made it so that there's the ad breaks in the show now. But if you guys don't want to listen to the ads, I don't really give a shit. You guys can skip right past them. Completely irrelevant. It just helps me out. And I apologize for having to put ads on the show. But at the same time, again, you have to try to make it so that you can at least pay for your programs and stuff. So, like I said, skip past them. I don't care. But just know I have no affiliation with these ads whatsoever. They're simply just there to try to make it so that there's a little bit of additional funding for the podcast. But moving into the front of house stuff, don't forget to follow Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook. For video content of the show, go and follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if you want to join the discussion, become a member of the Open Minds Media Discord. And over there, we discuss a lot of the stuff for Bizarre Inquiries, too. So you guys can always drop your questions, thoughts on all the stuff we discuss on that show, too, over on the Discord. And if anybody has an encounter they'd like to report, don't forget to report those to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree. There is a specific submission form for that. No matter how big, no matter how small, I want to hear about them. Could possibly talk about them on the show. You could just talk about them one-on-one with me if you want something to talk about or someone to talk about them with you. Or if you happen to be somewhat close to me, maybe I could possibly come out and investigate them. But, you know, we'll never be able to do any of that unless you guys report your encounters. So don't forget to do that. And don't forget to go and check out Bizarre Encounters, my other show that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren, covering a lot of the same topics that we do on this show, but in a totally different format, considering a lot of it is Oren and my research and deep dives. Of course, there is some guests scattered in there, but primarily the show is us doing our research and deep dives. And if you guys want to support the show, you guys can always support the show through Patreon or through the OMM merch store. And if you guys become Patreon members, there are exclusive merch store discounts. So definitely recommend checking out both of them. And if you guys want to become Patreon members, you guys can always go and check out the $3 and the $5 tier for 7 days for the free trial. See what it's all about. See if you guys are interested in supporting the show. A lot of awesome perks over there. So definitely worth going and checking out. And if anybody's interested in podcast production services, I am now offering that through Open Minds Media. So if anybody needs help with their podcast whatsoever, editing, creating logos, creating social media stuff, shoot me a message on Open Minds Media and I will be able to help you out over there. And of course, I have to give a shout out to all of the sponsors of the show because they're all fantastic and some of the best people in the community. So don't forget to go and check out Hans and Rick's I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs. And you guys can always go and check out Joe over there at Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And you guys can go and check out Snarly Yow, Dave, absolutely fantastic guy, for a fantastic smoky cedar with a hint of mint, beard oil, beard balm, and shampoo and body wash. Absolutely fantastic. And he's also one of those guys that throws a lot of the cryptid events. So if you guys are looking for some stuff to do, definitely go and check out his pages and figure out what events he's throwing. Because if Dave's throwing it, there's going to be some awesome people there. Always worth checking out. He is one of the nicest guys in the community, so he brings everybody together. So if you want to have a good family time digging into cryptids and high strange weirdness, definitely go and check out Snarly Yow for his beer products and, of course, for his events. And to all my paranormal investigators out there, don't forget to go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. Absolutely fantastic. I use it every single time that I go out. And if anybody has any questions about that whatsoever, you guys can hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices. He is the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your technical questions. And I know that there's a lot of new upgrades coming, such as an app. He's making like a watch band thing for it. So a lot of cool stuff to look out for over there. And if you guys decide to pick one of those up for yourself, don't forget to use the affiliate link because that goes back to helping out the show greatly. And everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Welcome to the show, Frankie from the Haunted and the Strange podcast. How's it going today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Glad we finally came around to this. I know that Kevin recommended you to come on to the show a while ago, and we just now got around to it. I know there's some scheduling stuff that happened, but Kevin's a good guy. So anytime he recommends somebody, you know, I definitely gotta hop right on it and have some conversations with him. And I know we had a little bit in the Discord, but it just doesn't do justice until you get the like face-to-face time / screen-to-screen, depending on how you look at it.
Absolutely.
So before we get into this, awesome conversation today, of course. For anybody that may not be familiar with who you are, what you do, about your podcast, why don't you let them know a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your podcast, and a little bit about some of the stuff you dive into.
Sure. So yeah, as Shane mentioned, my name's Frankie. I'm one half of the podcast, The Haunted and the Strange. Myself and my friend Sean, we bring you weekly segments that drop every Tuesday. We talk about all things that are weird, eerie, strange, haunting, anything that really piques our interest. We actually met online. He lives in the UK. I live in Canada. We've never met in person, but we kind of just bonded over just our weirdness, really. So we launched it in January, and it's going really well. And yeah, you can find us wherever you listen. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, come check us out.
Wow, you guys are only a couple months deep. I thought you guys were a little bit more established than that. So last time we talked, you really hadn't done too much of the show yet, right?
No, last time me and you talked, I was just in like the planning stages. So I was just writing. We've got a bunch of episodes in the bank. We were just in the planning stages and we had everything ready to go. And we launched beginning of January.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on launching your podcast.
Thank you.
And just to throw something out there, because I think it's funny. Everybody who ends up doing these podcasts, it seems like it's very rare that there's actually two people in person that are doing shows. More often than not, it's like completely scattered. Like my original co-host I had on Bizarre Encounters was from Pennsylvania. And then when he ended up leaving the show, I had Oren come on and he's from North Carolina. And it's like, we've been doing the show for over a year now. And I've only seen him in person technically once since we started. And considering you're in Canada and your co-host is in the UK, like that's even more. You guys may never even actually ever see each other in person unless you really make that effort to do it.
Yeah, like it's pretty crazy. And we have like, it's really, when we record, like we have to record totally separate and then we get together at the end to like do a discussion. So our podcast is a lot different than a lot of people's. It's more of like a story and then we talk about it. It's really cool. I think people would like it.
So just to kind of understand the format a little bit, so you guys kind of do like your own individual research, record individually, and then you put that together, and then you have like a conversation at the end, and then you guys record that together?
Yeah, so the way that works is like we go 1 week to 1 week. So today is Tuesday, so today's episode was one of mine. So I wrote the story, and then what happens is me and him will get together, and we'll talk about what the story was, and then we record that together, that segment, so... He writes and records his own. I write and record my own. And then we get together and we actually record the like discussion. So it's pretty cool.
Say, considering you guys are such different time zones, that probably makes it like a million times easier. Because I mean, coming from like the US, of course, and having just done shows with people from the UK and Australia, it's like Australia is farther, but it's almost easier because then you can kind of do it where it's like nighttime for you and it's their morning. But like UK, if you're trying to do it, it's always like some weird time. Like if you start at like 9, I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning for them then. So I've always had issues scheduling with people from the UK as much as I'd like love having them on the show because there's, you know, a lot of awesome researchers over there. But yeah, that time difference, it's really, really hard. But I mean, you being 2 hours back from where even I'm at, maybe it makes it a little bit easier than it would be for me with Eastern time.
Yeah, I don't know. Because me and him, we are 7 hours apart. So if it's 5 o'clock here, it's midnight for him. And we've recorded at 5 o'clock my time. So it's, we usually do it like in the morning on like a Saturday.
It's probably like the only way to go about it. I say, I think I've done like one or two shows with people from the UK and I'm like just kind of, you know, joking around with them after the show. And they're like, oh yeah, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning here. I'm like, bro, what? I'm sorry.
Go to bed. I know, it's wild.
So, I mean, just for shits and giggles, just because, you know, you said you dive into different stories on your show and you were doing the one for this week. Just out of curiosity, just so people kind of have like an idea of what you guys kind of dive into. What was the story you guys ended up covering this week?
Today, I actually covered the Preston School of Industry. It's in Ione, California. It was a school for wayward boys. It was kind of like a prison reform school for them. And it's pretty haunted. There's some pretty crazy stuff that went there.
What's like the, just out of curiosity, what's like the main haunting? You know, like usually they say like, oh, it's this ghostly boy or it's, you know, this woman in a dress. Like what's kind of like the motif for that haunting? Is it like just unseen activity from like children or like what's going on there?
The main one that people usually talk about, there was actually what was she? I think she was the headmistress, or something. She was like their like den mother basically for these boys, and somebody murdered her. So she reportedly haunts the basement, and that is like the main story. Is this woman?
tortured soul, probably, because I assume that if she was like a headmaster and somebody killed her, she probably wasn't the nicest. And considering when this time happened, I mean, you go back to like the early 1900s when you could just kind of like hit kids. So of course, those headmasters probably have a lot of enemies.
Yeah. She was more, what was her role? She was like, she did like housekeeping, and she kind of just like kept the boys, like, she was basically like their den mother. So yeah, there was some pretty bad, like, I want to say like wardens, not really wardens, but like the people that ran the school were pretty rough, but she was like really loved by these boys. So when she was found murdered, like they were really upset about it.
Maybe it's on the opposite side of it, where maybe she stays around because she feels like she needs to like protect these boys, or she needs to still take care of the boys, where rather than being that like malicious evil spirit that is just around, it's rather that she's one of the ones that felt like she needed to stay for like a purpose. Cause maybe if she got killed by somebody, maybe she stuck around thinking that she may have been able to protect the boys that she was taking care of from whatever may have happened to murder her.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, and yeah, it was pretty bad. And there was one boy that they did try to go after for it. But they even said, like, if it was one of us, they would have killed him. That's how much they liked her. So
it's one of those unsolved ones then. They don't really have any idea of like who could do it, just multiple suspects, but it was never solved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was never solved.
When was this exactly? When did this happen?
It was back in the early 1950s.
Oh, so it's like about 74 or so years ago then?
Yeah.
See, I figured it would have been a little bit earlier when you said like the headmaster and headmistress type thing. I figured it would have been, I don't know, just like early 1900s is kind of the idea that I got of it.
Yeah, like the school was built back in the like late 1800s. So it hasn't been around for that long. Of course, this is California, so it's on that part of the country, right? Where the history isn't as like old as it is where you're from on the east.
Just out of curiosity, too. So assumably, you know, with the haunted, the strange, and the strange. The strange can range from a lot of different things, but considering that the first name that you guys chose is the haunted, I assume that your guys' main primary focus is like the paranormal more so than like, say, cryptids or extraterrestrials, anything like that?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely will dive more into the haunted side of things. We have one cryptid episode out so far. We've got another one where there's cryptids involved in it. So far, we've got one, I think, UFO episodes that's aired. We've got more to come, but definitely more on the hauntings.
See, I feel like it's one of those things that I've noticed where a lot of people like kind of specialize in the thing that they may or may not have had an encounter with. So it seems like for me, I dig into a lot of cryptids and I had a weird creature encounter. I definitely dive into the paranormal, don't get me wrong, because I've had shadow people experiences, but like, my primary focus is the unexplained one for me, which was my cryptid encounter. So I assume that it's probably somewhat the same for you, is that either one, you just kind of came in with like an interest in the paranormal in general, or, you know, maybe you had your own encounter and that's why it's kind of held a special place in your heart above the other 40 in research.
Yeah, it definitely has. Like, I'm definitely a huge history buff. So I think that is why I'm also drawn to the ghosts and like these old buildings and the history behind them. But when I was younger, I actually had a ghost boy crawl in bed with me at my friend's house. So there's that.
Ooh. We'll definitely have to dive into that one. I was just going to make a quick comment that as far as history goes, I'm a huge history buff too. I absolutely love learning about history. That was like my absolute favorite subject in school. And part of the reason why I dive into cryptids is because I love reading like the old newspaper articles, love reading like the folklore stories and stuff about it. So it's kind of funny. We both have like the history background, but we dive into different topics with kind of the same view on it, that we like diving into like old newspaper articles, for example. Absolutely fantastic when it comes to the paranormal or cryptids. And just it's one of those things that it seems like it kind of just holds a special place in time, especially when you find those like original articles and not just, you know, generation after generation after generation of something writing about something. But when you have that firsthand encounter, like it seems like you almost like preserve like a piece of history, and it just becomes this whole separate thing that you just got to dive more into it and learn more about it. And it's like, once you start diving that far back into it, it's like you only want to find the stuff that's like original first time source. And then you kind of start throwing out the other stuff because you start noticing that it's really full of opinions, where the original story seems to be pretty to the fact, or at least to the fact of what those people perceive that they saw, no matter if it was cryptid or paranormal at the time.
Yeah, and then it just kind of snowballs, and it's so exciting. Like, I love doing the research. It's so much fun.
That's where I'm at. I got a bunch of stuff. My problem sometimes is that I like half start a bunch of stuff and then I'll end up, you know, another shiny object is over here and I'll start doing that one. So I have like 10 scripts that are like half written just because the next shiny little toy is in front of me. And I'm like, ooh, I got to look after this one. I got to check this one out. And then it's ultra weird when you start doing enough research that it all starts coming full circle. You'll have these like 10 subjects that you'll be researching. And then all of a sudden at the end, you'll find like a point where it's like, wow, all this stuff kind of goes together in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I have so many. I think I've got like probably 15 stories started and it's just like little bits and pieces. It's so funny. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not feeling that one this week. Okay, I'm going to go do something totally different, bring up a new one. And then I find five more.
See, the stockpile is nice though, because then when you have those weeks where you're like, huh, what do I hit? You have options. It's not just like, this is what we're doing in each particular week. It's nice to have like a little bit of a database behind it.
yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I do like a lot of like camping and stuff. So summer's right around the corner. So I'm banking all these episodes so that I can like go disappear into the woods and not have to worry about it.
And I definitely want to dive into some of your encounters. But the first thing that I was going to ask about your show, because I totally missed over asking it in the beginning, is when you kind of say that you tell it as like a story. So when you like do your research, do you not just kind of like, I don't want to say necessarily read off the facts, but you kind of do it in like a theatrical way of kind of like telling the story, not just from like a these are the facts standpoint, but more of like, I guess, just like a more descriptive, like a full on story rather than just like covering a topic.
Yeah, like I try to, it's still like, I wouldn't necessarily say a story, but when I go into it, I start at the very beginning. So I will go into like the history. It's not just, hey, this happened, this is when it happened, have a nice day. It's, okay, this building was built here, this is who owned it, then this person owned it, then this happened, and da, 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 da. And then usually at the very end is when I'm like, okay, and now there's some ghosts.
That kind of reminds me of, well, not exactly like it, but the reason I ask is because, what's his name? From the guy who does the lore podcast. He has this way where he like is telling a story, he's telling facts, but he does it in like a theatrical way so that it's like you're listening to facts, but it sounds like you're like reading like a story. Like obviously he adds some like additional details, some extra expressions to certain parts to just kind of tell the story. But I was just kind of curious if he kind of did it along that manner or not.
I wish. Aaron Mankey is like amazing. I love his podcast. He's got a show now that I need to watch. Like he's got a cool network. I know. I love his podcast. So I wish that I was like that, but I'm not.
I get caught up in Cabinet of Curiosities because he has this way about it where he like tells the full story but leaves the big detail out. So he'll be like talking about somebody who's like a decorated war general, did this, did that. And then at the end, he's like, oh, by the way, this war general was a dog.
Yeah, I know. He's the way he tells stories is amazing. I wish. That is goals. It's never going to happen, but that would be goals.
I just get this like envision of him where he's just like sitting in front of like a campfire with like a big book with like a little glass of brandy on the side of it where he has like a one of those Hugh Hefner looking like robes on or something. Like the old like Christmas story movies or Christmas Carol movies or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's great. He's
really
great.
Sets an ambiance.
I just had like a fangirl moment. Like, I know who that is and he's amazing.
That's one of those ones that I found him a long time ago. And yeah, he's one of my absolute favorite. Just again, the way storytelling is done now, like it seems like a lot of people don't do a lot of reading anymore. Like, you know, people like us that are podcasters and stuff, we do a lot of reading, but the average person doesn't. So it's like, it's almost needed that there's people that are able to recreate these historical stories and turn them into stories to make it so that people that wouldn't normally read can still get the same amusement as you would get from like reading a book with the descriptive details and actually learning to like visualize it in your head versus just always having an image in front of you. Cause that seems to be like a huge issue with a lot of people now is that they're so used to having like a TV in front of them that they can't visualize anymore. So most people don't read because they can't like read a story and see everything in their heads. Where again, people like us, we read a book and it's like, you can fully see the characters. Like you don't even need pictures of it. You have like this full image in your head, but television, unfortunately, has ruined that for a lot of people, and it always drives me crazy when people are like, oh, I'd rather just watch the movie, because it's like, yeah, you watch the movie, and it's maybe like 60% of the actual full story, and a lot of those details are changed within that, so it's just like, you're not getting the full story. Like, you can listen or read, like, 1984, for example, and it's like a 14-hour book if you listen to the audiobook all the way, or you watch the movie, and it fits into a two-hour period. Like, people don't think a lot of details are getting missed in that period.
Exactly. So are you like more like audiobook or are you like book?
I do both. It depends on what I'm doing. When I'm doing stories, I usually do it as audiobooks just because I got the young kids and stuff. Sometimes it's hard to sit down and just read like a monster book. But when I'm doing research, of course, I read like the hardcover books I do on the internet, I do all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to just like actual like stories, I do a lot of audiobooks just because it's just easier with, you know, it kind of keeps my mind preoccupied when I'm at work and stuff. So I definitely enjoy it and kind of gets me into this mindset where I'm doing like a tedious task. But at the same time in my head, I'm like in this fantasy world. So like, I dig it. Same reason I listen to podcasts, I guess, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I haven't gone into the audiobook side of things. I know Sean, my co-host, he does audiobooks. But he has like a lot different job. Like I work in an office, so like I'm constantly even pausing podcasts. So I'm still a book kind of person. I can't even deal with a Kindle. Like I don't even do Kindles. I need like the actual book. I go to libraries every few weeks. I'm that kind of nerd.
See, that's how I am, is like a lot of the time I'll buy a hard copy of a book and I'll listen to the audiobook because it's like I want to be able to go back and reference and like read certain sections, quote certain parts. But at the same time though, it's like it's easier sometimes just because I work like a labor job to pretty much just be doing tedious labor while I'm listening to the book. But again, I still like the visual. So even if I'm like, just a prime example, I was recently listening to the audiobook of Etta Dorpa, and there's a lot of really awesome pictures for that. So like I have the PDF of it on my phone. So I'm like checking out the pictures and stuff and like copying quotes out of it, doing all that kind of stuff while I'm still listening to the audiobook. So I kind of go back and forth on them. I wouldn't be able to do just a straight audiobook by itself. I would still need visual because I do like quoting a lot of things. So it's like I visually need to see the words to remember the full quote versus just like hearing it out loud, because then I end up just kind of shortening it and kind of getting around to the point and not actually getting like word for word, where when it comes to a lot of books, it's like you want the quote like word for word. It's, you don't want to paraphrase it, you know?
Yeah, no. I always wonder too when it comes to that is like what people do, and it's usually labor jobs. I notice a lot of people that do labor jobs are like, they listen to a lot of podcasts and they listen to audiobooks if they are readers.
Shit ton of lectures too. I do a lot of lectures.
Okay. Yeah. I find that interesting. Like I wish, because then I could read so many more books.
That's kind of what it is, because usually a lot of the time I won't do it too fast, but I'll do it like 1.2. So rather than being able to read like, or listen to like one book during the day, I'll end up getting to listen to maybe like one and like another half of a book or something like that. Because mm-hmm. like you don't want to do it too fast, because otherwise you kind of start losing details because your mind can't keep up with it. But just that extra point two, when you're listening to like a 14-hour book, ends up cutting like 2 hours off of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely helps out big.
Hold that thought. We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. But kind of popping back into your stuff, I wanted to definitely be able to cover some of your experiences because, of course, you know, increase our reality. We, of course, have to inquire about our reality. And a lot of the people that listen to the show love hearing about bizarre experiences. So you got to run the gambit here. I want to hear some of your paranormal experiences that you've had.
Yeah, like I haven't had that many, but I have one. Like I've seen things. When I say that, like I'm pretty sure me and my friend saw a UFO when I was a kid. We were like standing in our front yard. We were playing like, I don't know, like badminton or something. It was dark. And I remember looking and I just saw something coming across the sky. It would have come in from my right. And it came in and then just kind of like, and like dropped down. So I don't know. I don't know what it was. Who knows? It could have been a firefly. I have no idea. But I don't think it was a firefly.
The UFO stuff is always really, really hard because it's like you see it and then by the time the experience is over, it's like completely gone out of the sky. So it's like it's really hard to be able to ever like really go back and like double check what you may have seen, because once it's not there anymore, it's not there. And even if you get a video of it, it's like you can't zoom into stuff that close in the sky that great without it kind of just losing the picture quality of it. So it's like a lot of the UFO encounters, they may be completely legit. On the other side, they may be absolutely nothing, but it's, you never really know for sure. It's mainly, you just kind of have to trust your gut feeling on a lot of it.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, okay, well, did I really see that? Or am I just, like, did I have a beer? How many beers did I have? You know, like, I don't know. It's weird, because as soon as it's done, you're like, oh, did that actually happen? I don't know if that actually happened. It's weird.
Sometimes you get really weird confirmation, though. There was one time that I was at, I don't know if you have them in your state, but Meijer, which is a grocery store in Michigan, parking lot, and I was looking up in the sky, and there were these multiple red lights, and they're all kind of sitting around each other, and then they started moving around sporadically, and then they all just disappeared and shot off. And I was like, that's weird. That, like, it can't be any kind of, like, spotlight or anything. Like, they don't move like that. It wasn't on the clouds. It was, like, a clear sky. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of placed it in my head, like, I guess that was a possible UFO experience. So yeah. That was like maybe 6 years ago. And this new place that I'm working at, there's this other guy who was working there. And he just heard that I did like the type of podcast and everything that I do. And he was telling me about a UFO experience. And he was like, man, I saw these red lights. And I was like, wait, where were you? And how long ago was this? And he basically said, oh, yeah, I was near like, it's 13 Little Mac is the two streets where it intersects. But basically, this guy ended up describing the same experience that I saw. And I was just like, dude, that's insane. I saw the same exact thing and I didn't know where to place it forever. I don't know if I was the only one that saw it. Like my girlfriend saw it, but maybe we're just at that right spot. But confirmation from somebody that his parents live in the neighborhood that was over away from the where we were, because they would have been like another couple blocks south, kind of shows that there may have actually been something to it. Like once in a great while, you get those confirmations. And I don't know how that happened, but that was the one conversation I had with this guy before he stopped working there. And there you go. Saw the same UFOs I saw.
That's cool. See, I want to see that. That's more, you know, if you see like lights flashing, I think that's more, but it was just so quick, you know, just like comes in the frame. So at first I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's a plane, but then just the way it dropped, I'm like, And where I grew up, there wasn't, you know, like right now I live in a really big city, so there's helicopters and stuff like that. But where I grew up, there wasn't anything like that. And there was no airport over there. So I have no idea, but it was definitely weird.
It makes you wonder, though, how many more UFO sightings there. I mean, there's definitely a lot of UFO sightings in major cities, but it makes you wonder how many more there would be if there wasn't such light pollution. Because, yes. I mean, there could be a bunch of stuff that's kind of hovering just above that regularly, and people would never realize it. And, I mean, assumably these things might get intelligent. It seems like they usually, when abductions happen more often than not, is usually at night. So these things are clearly smart enough to come at night and not be in the sky in the middle of the day if they don't want to be seen. So again, it makes you wonder how many sightings may completely just nobody would ever even know that they were there just because they're smart enough to use the light pollution in their favor.
Yeah, because you're right. They could totally hide up there.
When you start seeing those black copters, that's when you got to look out.
Yeah, well, I know which helicopters are which. I'm like, okay, that's a news one. That's the copper chopper. Okay, you can tell.
You got to look for those blinking lights. That's what always gets me, because you'll see like a bright light for a second and you'll be like, what is that? And you got to stare long enough and you're like, oh, I see the red and I see the red and the green. They're flashing. It's just a plane.
Yeah. Oh, they're just trying to find someone. They just have their spotlight on. They found them.
See, I've tried to like bring my telescope out there a few times, but it's like more often than not, it's kind of hard to find the spot, especially when it's moving. I've been wanting to get one of those binoculars that they're not meant for seeing space and stuff, but you can essentially see like the moon pretty good with them, so you can like use them for the sky. They're not for like they're stronger than like what you'd use, you know, if you're in the woods or anything like that. I don't know what the exact use is for them. Maybe if you're like up on a mountaintop or something like that, the intention is maybe to see stuff on the ground, but yeah. I don't want to pick one of those things up forever just so I got something. If I see something weird, at least I can get somewhat of a closer eye on it to hopefully differentiate it and see what it might be.
Yeah, and they don't even make cameras that can go in quite the same. That would be really cool, though, if they, I guess if you spent a lot of money, you could get a pretty good video camera. Depends on how much you want to spend, I guess.
I mean, there's, like, the double on the camera thing, too, though, that it seems like the older cameras are able to pick these things up a lot better, where the newer cameras don't pick them up as good. And I mean, I've kind of theorized on why that might be. I mean, there's all the AI stuff. So maybe it like tries to fix the image, and in turn by fixing the image, it ends up taking it out more. Yeah. Or maybe it has something to do with like what reality or what frequency these things are existing in, that it's not able to capture a picture digitally where it would have been able to capture a picture by like refracting light back and using like an old camera. Because like I've talked to a few different pretty big UFO researchers in Mexico, and they all use like old tape cameras, and they pick up some crazy footage. Like there's a lot more crazy footage that comes out of like Mexico and South America than there ever would be in the United States. And all those guys that are catching all the great stuff are using all the old cameras. So I mean, maybe that's somewhat of the trick to it. I mean, maybe that's even the same thing with like Bigfoot, because it seems like with the older cameras, they were a lot less blurry, where the newer cameras, they're a lot more blurry. And is it a matter of them correcting, or is it, again, something that's existing in between two realities and these new digital cameras just aren't able to pick them up properly because it's not just trying to grab the image, but rather it's like pixelating and like creating an image rather than just trying to get like a quick capture of the image itself.
Yeah. I think you might be onto something there, because a lot of like Bigfoot, other cryptids, I've heard a lot of people say like they literally exist in an alternate reality. Like they are in like another dimension. So that's why they like can basically phase in and out, right? It's like, oh, I saw that, and then it just goes away. Well, it's because they're going back into their own dimension or wherever. It's pretty crazy.
I had this guy on the show a long time ago. His name is Dr. Simeon Hine, and he was describing this idea that, you know, if something's like radioactive, how you can't take a picture of it because it ends up just kind of like blurring because it messes up. I guess like technically it's not stationary because of how many particles are coming off of it. So it's like impossible to capture like a non-blurry photo of it. And he was kind of describing it the same way, that the reason why a lot of these cryptids could not be able to take a picture is because they're inherently not stationary to begin with. Like if they're constantly vibrating or moving and again existing in a different pitch or a different frequency, that may be what gets captured in the picture, is the fact that they're vibrating or harmonizing differently, because again they're not from this reality to begin with.
Yeah.
Or again, maybe they just have different arrangement, different vibration of their particles, and it's just our cameras aren't intended to capture stuff like that.
Gosh. Okay, so we're all gonna go get some old cameras and see what we can capture, I guess. Like, that's, yeah.
I want to go pick up.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of those 1800s cameras. The only problem is how long those things take to take a picture. You have to stand there for like an hour. That's why Everybody in the old photos just looks angry as shit, because they're like, don't smile because your cheeks are going to hurt after sitting there for a while. Be sitting there like, I'm going to capture this UFO. It's like, damn it. 10 minutes in and I can't find it anymore.
Yeah, the sun's already set or something. The sun's already come back up because you were waiting for so long.
You end up getting this like time lapse of it where it's just like a streak across the sky and you're like, I caught the perfect UFO photo, and they're like, man, it looks like a chemtrail. I don't know.
Well, look, I got a chemtrail then.
Perfect chemtrail.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So, I mean, I definitely want to get into some paranormal theories, but before we get into that, of course, I get you got to talk about your paranormal encounter. You're talking about that little boy, and then we can kind of get into some possible paranormal theories, because I always love picking up on what other people kind of perceive or what they think might be how the paranormal functions. But again, before you know that, we gotta get to cover your experiences first.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so when I was a kid, I was a latchkey kid, so I was always at my friends' houses. So I was at this one friend's house, and they had a Ouija board, and I still to this day do not mess with Ouija boards, like, absolutely not. But they did. So this just kind of, like, they were those kind of people, right? They were, like, really into that kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't want to, that's scary. But they had in their house, and they had told me, they had a little boy that lived in one of the middle sister's rooms, and he would crawl into bed with you. And they told me this when I was quite young. I think I was probably like 7 or 8. They told me this story. I'm like, yeah. So then I fast forward a few years later, and I'm still friends with them, and I'm over there, and I am actually sleeping in this girl's room because she was out of her friends, and we were all, you know, there was a bunch of us girls. So anyways, I'm sleeping in her bed, and I had my back to the bedroom. And so I'm facing the wall, and I feel this, like, on my backside, this, like, cold, something crawled into bed with me. It was just cold. And it was like, the bed didn't move, but I just felt this cold, like, presence. It was the weirdest thing. And, that was it. And then I just went back to sleep. So yeah, I'm pretty sure a ghost boy crawled into bed with me. I don't remember what they had a name for him too. I don't remember what it was. They got it off their Ouija board, but like I said, I didn't.
I was about to ask, did they hear that this was a little boy from the Ouija board?
Yeah.
Because you can never really trust, like, a Ouija board. It's almost like playing Omegle, where you only have, like, text or something. Because it's like anything can say that they're anything, and you don't know for sure. And when it gets into, like, the Ouija board stuff, I've had some people talk about some weird experiences with that. Like, Tom from Strange Brew talks about how, without getting into, like, too much detail about it, but pretty much, like, you know, he was like, oh, Ouija boards are bullshit. And then he started messing with the Ouija board, and he pretty much ended up having this ghost essentially try to feel him up in his sleep. You know, with lack of a better term. Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to these things, you never really know what they could be. You know, it could be masquerading as a little boy saying, like, oh, trying to trick you, like, oh, it's okay, it's just a little boy, it's something innocent. But it could have been somebody that was, you know, like a major creep in the house, you know, that's trying to hide behind a mask of being, oh, I'm just an innocent kid, but it's actually some grown-ass man that's trying to cuddle into bed with you.
Just being a creep to all the girls. Yeah, and that's why I say, it was a little boy, in my own brain, it was a little boy. I'm just going to go with that, because otherwise it kind of freaks me out, because I don't
dabble. It gets into a whole other level of creepy.
Yeah, because I won't. Like, Ouija boards, I remember my kids at one point, they're like, oh yeah, we're at our friend's house or something. They brought up Ouija boards. I'm like, cool, you keep those at your friend's houses. Do not bring those into my house.
You got to freak them out. You got to tell them to read all the rules, because I don't know if you've ever looked into it, but there's, like, a list of rules for a Ouija board on how you're supposed to, like, end the ceremony, how you're supposed to begin it, things you're not supposed to do during. Like, the list is, like, ridiculous, and it's a bunch of stuff that people wouldn't necessarily even think of. Like, perfect example, at the end, you're supposed to basically, like, give a goodbye, and if you don't, then you're leaving, like, the line open. And, yeah, like, you're supposed to, like, light a candle when you do it, and then you're supposed to put out the candle when you're finished, and if you leave the candle lit or you put it out too early, it, like, does something with, like, the doorway. Like, there's so many rules to it that, I don't know, I feel like you shouldn't even mess with a Ouija board unless you fully are aware of what it could potentially be capable of. But everybody kind of has this, like, connotation of a Ouija board, considering that Mattel master produces those things now, so everybody just kind of associates it with, like, a board game. But I mean, even with that, I mean, I remember when we were kids, you could go to, like, Toys R Us, you could go to any, like, toy store, go in the board game aisle, and you could find Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it's because there's, like, a rise in spirituality and stuff. I mean, maybe you'd expect to see more, but it seems like I haven't seen a Ouija board in a store in years. And maybe it's because of, like, again, it's a back and forth, because you think that everybody's becoming more spiritual, so you think that they would be more open to those ideas. People are open about being Wiccans, all that kind of stuff now. But at the other side of it, there's, like, the whole, I guess, they don't want to do anything where it relates to anything like that. Like, the people that are scared, like, the woke culture. I feel like the woke culture wouldn't be into using a Ouija board, necessarily, because they just, you never know what could come with that, you know? I don't know, it's kind of weird. There was just, in stores, and then all of a sudden one day, you just don't see them in stores anymore. The only stores you really see them in is, like, metaphysical stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's good because you're right. Like, the premise is you're opening up a portal, right? Like, that's what you're doing. You're opening up a portal and people they're not closing them properly. They're not doing anything properly. So I'm really glad that you can't just go buy one on like any store shelf anymore because it's dangerous.
On the other side, though, I mean, you can make those things, too. So it's like, you know, you could even just take like a basic piece of paper and stuff, and it would probably have the same effect. I don't know if it necessarily needs something done to it to necessarily like activate it. But just jokingly, like I got this, you know, those little like fold up games like they used to make as like keychains and stuff when we were kids. Mm-hmm. I got a world's smallest Ouija board, and I haven't actually like used it yet. But I'm kind of curious, like if it would work in a haunted location, because yeah. I haven't used it. I kind of just have it as like a display item in the case behind me just because it's cool, but mm-hmm. you know, like I'm curious if it would work the same as like a full-size board would work, or if maybe it's something with the wood, because it seems like a lot of the people have had the weird experiences when I've asked them. Just a weird detail to ask, but more often than not, it seems like the wooden boards have the weirder experiences than like the cardboard or the paper boards do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why. I know different like elements will like channel things differently, so maybe that's why.
I mean, I'm sure they're not making it out of any occult types of wood like Hollywood or anything like that. I'm sure it's just like pressed particle board, but maybe it's just because of it being like some type of like connection to the earth or something. But yeah. I mean, technically paper's made out of trees too, so it's no different. Maybe it's just too chemically processed where it kind of loses that like natural element to it, where you have to have like the wood because it does have more of a natural element to it. Because again, older Ouija boards were like actual solid wood, they weren't like the pressed particle board wood. Mm-hmm. So I have to differentiate that and ask that one now too, if it was like a pressed particle board or a solid wood board, because I almost feel like you probably would have better results with the solid wood than the glued over processed fake wood.
Yeah, you'd think so if that's where you're going to go with it, and you're going to say, okay, well, yeah, because it's more connected to the earth, more connected to the elements, the stuff that isn't processed, and maybe the stuff that doesn't have the Mattel stamp on it. I don't know.
I know that there was some original company that was making that before Mattel did. I don't remember the name of it offhand, but I know that if you look up their boards, like they go for a couple hundred bucks now because they were like super good quality. And if you get like one of the first generation boards, like they go for like a couple thousand, but the company wasn't open for very long. Then Mattel ended up taking it over. And man, I wish I remember the name of this company, but their Ouija boards are like a whole other level. Like they don't look like a kid's game like the Mattel ones do. Like they look like they were like legitimately making them for spiritual ceremonies, because mm-hmm. I don't know exactly when the company started, but I mean, spirituality was like a huge thing in like late 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah. So I assume that kind of just came hand in hand with that was what it was marketed for, was for spiritualists, not for whoever just wants to make contact with the dead to make contact with the dead, like it's viewed now. Like I'm sure it was specifically used for, I guess you could call it, religious practice of spiritualists.
Yeah. And that's when it was too. And you're probably right. I'm curious about this too. I want one of those boards. That's one I might fuck with, actually.
See, I'd want one just for the sake of having it, but it's one of those things that it's like, if it's one of the OG boards, is that one of those things that you'd want to have in like a blessed case or something like that? Because you don't know like what it could be tied to it, who's used it, who hasn't closed doorways with it. And if the doorways are open, are those doorways open in that specific location, or are they attached to the board themselves where they'll go wherever the board goes? Like, really know. You're playing with fire.
You really are. You really are. So I don't know. Maybe just make your own. Then you know.
That's what they say to do with a lot of stuff. Like people mm-hmm. that end up getting into like tarot reading or, you know, reading rune stones.
Yeah.
Like they always say you have way better results if you basically create and use your own deck. So presumably it would go the same for those. I mean, even people that use like pendulums, all the people that have the best results with pendulums, they're not just going and buying a pendulum kit from the store. Like they will find like a particular stone, or they'll have some particular connection to a certain stone that they found somewhere or whatever. And they end up using those. And those, again, have way better results because not only does it have that earthly connection to it, but then also it has a personal connection with you to it, where it's almost like you're putting your essence, your views, you're manifesting yourself in a weird way, like into the board by creating it yourself, or whatever, you know, item of what's the word I'm looking for? crap. I can't remember the word. All that stuff. There's like a category that that fits under. I'm brain farting the word. I'm going to remember in like 5 minutes though.
And then just yell it out. Yeah.
Divination. That's it.
Sense. Divination. There you go. Okay. It would make there sense is. Though. Then it's getting your own energy in it. So whatever you're using it for, it would be able to, I don't know. I just feel like you'd be able to use it better because it's got your energy in it. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does make complete sense. Because, I mean, at least for me, too. Like, I bought some runes a long time ago, and I used to read runes when I was kind of doing like a little bit of that stuff here and there. I haven't done it in a while, weirdly enough. But the original one that I had was, like, a pre-made set. You know, just kind of just felt like it was just kind of luck of the draw kind of a thing. And maybe it's just something that you, like, mentally manifest yourself, the fact that you feel like it's more prominent because it's something you created. But after actually physically creating runes, I felt like I had way more honest, true results to like the questions I was asking it.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been that this is something I created. So you just could have had more positivity going towards it, going into it too.
And it also kind of makes you wonder too, if it's one of those things like the slit experiment, that if you are if you're thinking that this is how this is going to function, then it is in turn going to function that way in your reality. So then again, it kind of begs the question of like, are things set to function a certain way, or do they only function a certain way because we mentally manifest them to happen that way? And our brains, again, are a lot stronger than we realize, which everybody kind of knows, but kind of just dances around it.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean too. Cause even then, like when you manifest something, you're putting your energy, you're giving it energy, and that's why it's able to do what you need it to do, because you're giving it that energy.
I mean, you even dig into like Himal, or let's see, who would that be from? It's from like Himalayan monks and stuff like that, talking about like the idea of like tulpas, like thought creatures. I mean, this idea exists and has existed forever. I mean, they always say that there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, there's so many different ideas through so many different cultures of being able to manifest stuff. And I mean, there's a million different words for manifesting. That just seems to be the one that everybody frequently uses now. Mm-hmm. But just of putting enough thought into something that it ends up resulting in the way that you choose for it to. And I mean, that even goes into some like sci-fi stuff. Like, I remember these people that were, they were getting into this whole thing about like reading cards, and it was like game card, like, you know, just standard like playing deck cards. And once they understood like how these cards fell exactly, they were like predicting events that happened in the future. And is it like a matter of, again, luck of the draw, and they're just kind of viewing it a certain way that they want to view it? Or is it because they actually have thought into what these cards are going to tell them, that it actually is giving them the answer that they need, because their brain is manifesting it in a way that's physical and in front of them? Like, I feel like if you put enough thought into something, it will physically manifest in front of you, and it won't any longer be a thought.
Yes. Well, if you think about, I know everybody right now uses manifesting, but what about prayer? Like, what are people doing when they're praying? When they're praying, they are doing, they're manifesting it.
And I mean, even when you get into that, like, stuff with praying, for example, I was listening to Blurry Creatures today. And they had somebody on that they were talking about this experiment they did where they're basically trying to like pray for people at a hospital, and they had like the control group, and then they had the group they were praying for, and then a group that they weren't praying for. Mm-hmm. And they were not telling anybody like who they were praying for on either side. And they actually ended up viewing the results of it being that the people that they prayed for had less time spent in the hospital. They recovered faster. And again, is it a matter of like somebody manifested it onto somebody else, or maybe it was just the fact that part of the group was like, oh, I'm going to do better because somebody's praying for me. But it's one of those, it's like a chicken and an egg type of situation. It's like, does one happen because of the other, or does the other happen because of the other one?
Yeah. So you got two different options here. It's either the positive energy is healing them, or you have like a placebo effect.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. And I mean, even when you kind of look at it and bring it into other things too, you have the whole idea that people do the experiments with plants, where they'll talk sweet to one group of plants, and then they'll go to the other group of plants and be like, you're ugly, you're a piece of shit, you're worthless, you're fucking garbage.
Yeah.
And the plants that are getting the nice words are flourishing, they're doing awesome. The ones that aren't getting the nice words aren't. So maybe that's a matter of what it is even if you don't want to necessarily view it as something spiritual, even though I mean it is praying, but just having positivity behind your frequency, behind your message, behind what you're saying ends up having positive results on other things. And we're just now starting to really understand, and particularly a lot of podcasters, a lot of like the Fortean researchers that are diving into the whole like vibration and frequency concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been around forever, but it's resurfacing again. But there's definitely something to it. And I mean, you just think about waves that you're not aware of and how much damage that they can do or how much good they can do. And it could theoretically be no different with verbal frequencies, with verbal pitches, or with, I guess you could say like mental pitches. Cause I mean, you never know necessarily like what you could potentially give off, because you get into the whole like aura idea, and like you have like flowers, for example, that, you know, give off ultraviolet rays, that tell bees to come to them. Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered if people might potentially kind of do the same thing, that we may not be able to see it in our light spectrum, but depending on what your mental energy is, depending on what the energy is of your body, do we give off a glow the same as like flowers would in ultraviolet that end up affecting stuff around us? And everybody wants to get into the whole spiritual auras thing like it's, you know, some kind of woo-woo thing. But I think that there's a lot of science to it, and it's just a matter of everything starts off as magic before it becomes a science. But I feel like we're kind of on that path now. We're really starting to realize how much of an effect everything has on pitch and frequency, vibration, energies, all of that. Beyond like a woo-woo concept, it seems like it's starting to become a science, because forever it's always been something that's linked in with religion. So people just kind of kept it in that category. Yeah. And now that we have a means of doing scientific experimentation with this, with the technology that we have, I feel like we're essentially proving it as a fact. And maybe within a couple generations, it'll be its own solid branch of science that isn't like a woo-woo thing, but rather like, you know, sound healing. It won't sound so whimsical, you know, in a couple generations. It'll just be another form of science and another form of being able to cure ailments and illnesses.
I sure hope so, because I don't know, like, okay, let's say you walk into a room and you've walked into a room before, I know you have, where you see this guy, let's just say, and he just gives off this bad vibe, right? It's nothing new. It's an energy. He's giving off a weird energy. So the whole aura thing, like, just because we can't see it doesn't mean we can't feel it. And it doesn't, and I'm glad that it's not woo-woo anymore, because it's there. And sometimes it's like tangible.
I mean, even connecting off into other animals, I mean, dogs or cats, they go into a room and they can look at somebody without even saying anything, and they know who's giving off good energy and who's giving off bad energy. Mm-hmm. So maybe it can be seen in other means, where we're thinking of it more visual because we're thinking of the whole idea of like ultraviolet rays with flowers, but maybe it's like a smell, maybe it's like a scent that like animals can pick up on, and there's like a good sweet scent maybe for somebody that's a good, positive, happy person, and then there's like a bitter, gross, stinky smell for somebody that isn't. Because there has to be something to it if animals are able to pick up on it. And it's not just dogs in particular, it's cats, it's any animal you have around. Like, animals know who other animal people are. Even if they just, I mean, prime example, three people walk into a room, they don't even say anything or even look at the dog. The dog, if there's a person that they don't like, they'll have them zoned out, and they'll know that they don't like them, and they'll start getting mad at them and try to get them out of the house. So, like, mm-hmm. there has to be something to it, you know? And I feel like people probably, honestly, we have that. It's just a matter of people just deny it, because I always trust my gut feeling, and my gut feeling has never steered me wrong. So maybe that's what it is with animals, and it's just that we kind of just push that feeling away and don't really give it any thought or idea, because we just kind of see it as like, oh, this person made me feel weird, but whatever. It's just, you know, we just keep going on with life at that point.
Yeah, you might be right. And maybe it's because we didn't need to, like, back in the day, we needed to survive, and it was different. Right? Like, so you needed to trust your gut more. Like, I always, like, I call it women's intuition. Like, I listen, and usually it's right. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't do that. But I think, like, as we've gone through in our society, we don't need to, like, protect ourselves the same way on, like, our day-to-day. Like, if you're like, okay, like, if I was, because I'm a small female, so if I'm, like, in a dark parkade, let's say, I'm going to get the heebie-jeebies if there's, like, a group of dudes, right? But in your normal day-to-day, you don't really have that anymore. So I think that we could probably learn something from the dogs and the cats and the lizards and whatever else, is to start to listen to it again, because energy is everything. And people just ignore it.
I mean, I definitely think it's one of those things too that like people they enjoy the drama. They enjoy arguing with people. Like back in the day, you had a disturbance with somebody. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are people that are definitely taking to a whole other level still, but like back in the day, you know, somebody had a disagreement with you over a little bit of land or something, and that person's going to come out and they're going to try to kill you. Where now people take it to court, they take it to this, they take it to that. So it's just like some people are entertained by that kind of stuff because there's not necessarily like physical damage to a lot of this stuff. So I feel like people kind of just push that feeling away because they're entertained by having conflict with people. Mm-hmm. Where like I'm one of those people that I try to avoid that altogether. So if I get a bad feeling from somebody, like I've had it happen in my adult life more times than I can count, that I'll start working somewhere and I'll say in the first 5 minutes, like there's something weird to that guy. I don't like that guy. Like I'm going to avoid him. Then all of a sudden, like 8 months later, it comes out that he's been like stealing from the company. He's been doing this. He's been doing that. He's been going behind people's backs and doing stuff he's not supposed to do. So it's like, it's there. It may not pop out right away, but like my gut feeling has never steered me wrong. So it's just, again, I think a lot of people just deny it because they weirdly enough enjoy having that drama and conflict back and forth. So they just, they ignore it because they know it'll end up entertaining them later on, I guess.
Yeah. Subconsciously. Because I'm the same kind of way. I don't want any confrontation. I just want everyone to be nice and everyone to get along. And I'm just going to, you know, I just avoid it.
Yeah, if somebody gives me any kind of bitter taste whatsoever, like if it's at work or something, like I'll be minimal how I have to be for work. But beyond that, it's like I'm not, if I get any bad feeling from somebody, like they're not going to know one thing about me personally because it's just like, there's something to that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to give you anything. Yeah.
So before we start running out of time, because I know I mentioned that we had to dive into it a little bit, I kind of want to hear your side of like the paranormal. You know, I dive into a lot of different theories on stuff, but at least as far as like your research goes, what's kind of like your view on ghosts, the paranormal? Like, do you think that they're, you know, like aimless spirits? Do you think that they're like another reality? Just kind of give you some examples. Like what's kind of your view on the paranormal?
Wow, that's a hard one because I think there's just so many different circumstances. I feel like a lot, it's just trapped energy. I'm big into energy. I know I keep bringing up that word, but I feel like it's trapped energy. So that's
I'm glad you brought it up because now it just kind of continues off of what we were just talking about instead of being like a hard pivot to something else. So
yeah,
you've been doing that.
No, like I'm really like even like because I'm a huge outdoors person. So, you know, even like touching a tree is big for me because you get energy. So I'm a big energy person. But anyways, when it comes to like hauntings, I feel like the energy that comes from these people, it just kind of like gets trapped in these, usually it's buildings, right? And I just think, yeah. And then it's like an imprint, you know, and that's where you get like your residual hauntings. Sometimes it's intelligent. But yeah, it's just, it's more of like an entrapment thing, and it's kind of shitty if you think about it that way. Like they can't go anywhere.
I mean, I've kind of gotten pretty heavy into like the whole like stone tape theory that basically like the world is magnetic and it almost like records things almost like a VHS. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of that, I kind of get into the multiple realities idea that there may be somewhat of like a purgatory that's like an in-between dimensions kind of a thing. And maybe these people kind of get stuck where they're not in one reality or the other. So kind of the same thing you were saying where it's like a stuck or like trapped energy.
Yeah.
But again, it's hard with the paranormal because there's so many different theories on it and all of them sound perfectly fitting. But then it's just like, it's a matter of which one you want to follow because I feel like it's one of those things that's, we may never necessarily know for sure. I mean, I think that the government in general has a lot more knowledge of the paranormal than they lead off to. Mm-hmm. And that's simply off the fact that all of these elites are trying to live forever. So I feel like the reason why a lot of like the really good paranormal videos get scrubbed off the internet or you only find them like on the deep web is because there is a lot more of an understanding to these things. Mm-hmm. But as far as like amateur researchers, like there's so many good theories. It's like you never know which one to go down the path of because like, even Sasquatch, it's like interdimensional and flesh and blood. It's like, I entertain both sides because I don't know for sure. Both sides have some pretty damn good points. So it's like, I'm not going to pick a camp either way because I want to kind of view it from all different angles until there is something solid in front of me that tells me that this is exactly what it is. But till then, I'm gonna entertain a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea, like you had said purgatory. So like you're like different dimensions. So you think in like, I'm not a religious person, but I know some things about religion. And one of the big ones in, I believe is Christianity is purgatory. Like these teachings and these writings, they come from somewhere. So maybe that's what they're actually talking about. It's just another dimension, and that's just how they translated it.
I mean, even if you're talking about it from like a religious standpoint, like you get into like the Book of Enoch, and I know I've mentioned this a few times on the show, but they're kind of dance around it, but they essentially talk about like portals and other dimensions, but just in a different perspective and different language, because they didn't have those words around when the Book of Enoch was written. So it's just like, I think that there's definitely something to it. And I feel like most answers, I don't want to say come from the Bible specifically, but are through a mixture of a bunch of different religious books. Because I think that a lot of these religious books are multiple perspectives of the same thing. So you kind of have to, it's kind of like when you're, say you're a cop and there's five people that witness a crime. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just going to take one person's view and say, this is exactly what happened. You're going to take all five people's views, and then you're going to start combining the stuff that all of them said exactly similar. And then you start taking into consideration the stuff that somebody can only see from one particular angle. But like, I think that's kind of like where a lot of these like holy books and stuff come to with answering a lot of these questions, is the fact that all of them have the answers. It's just that they're scattered between them from different perspectives. And you have to start really like looking into them and saying, all right, this piece is the same. 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 And if you see it across every single religious book, then there has to be something to that particular piece.
Yeah.
Like whether it's religious or it's something that can be proved by science, like there is something to that.
Yeah.
Such as the flood myth. Like, mm-hmm. There was something to that, scientifically and religiously.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what, like, our job is, basically, is to take all this different information and try to, like, try to make sense of it, try to be like, okay, this is what it is. But even then, you can't, because there's so many different opinions, and there's so many different sightings and feelings, and I don't know, it's all theoretical.
See, that's funny, though, because it's like, you get into like theories in general, and they leave like theory out of the Big Bang. They just call it the Big Bang. You don't really hear people say theory a lot. They say evolution, not evolutionary theory. But then you get into like the flood, and they say like the flood myth. And that definitely makes it sound like it's something false,
yeah.
Even though there's more scientific backing behind there being a great flood than there is of a lot of these other things that people kind of just drop the word theory off of at the end.
Yep.
So it's just like, you can tell that the narrative's kind of pushed. They want you to think one particular way, and they kind of steer you away from like the truth that's within religion, because they just want people to look at it all as like, oh, that's just, that's religion. That's all spiritual, blah, 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 blah. Even though there's a pretty good portion of a lot of stuff through these holy books that have been 100% fact proven, more than these scientific theories that everybody gloats around like they're fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't play into their narrative, so they're gonna go, oh, these people are just woo-woo, right?
See, because like I said, they could say the flood theory, but they say flood myth, because subconsciously when you hear theory, you think about it more scientifically. When you hear myth, you think of it as a story. So it's like accurately placed words to make you think one way, even though they're both kind of dancing around and saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's like propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Literally. It's ingrained into our society at this point, like beyond.
I know. Yeah. And nobody even sees it. It's wild.
That's what blows my mind all the time, though. It's just going outside and just seeing all of this stuff. And I'm just like, how does nobody else see this?
I know.
Like, you see, like, just not to get too far into like politics and stuff, but it's just like, you'll see just like craziness on both sides. And then you'll be like, all right, the truth's in the middle somewhere. And it's just like, both people are on this side or they're on this side. And you're just like, why can't we just admit both sides got some craziness to them? And just like most things, I don't even want to say it in like a bad way. Like, the truth is in the middle of almost everything. It's not on the one side or the other side. It's in the center. You got to combine the stories, like I was saying.
Yeah, exactly. And people just,
pass over.
Yeah, and they do. And then they just like, everybody just jumps on these bandwagons. It's like, can you guys start asking some questions? Because you're not asking any questions. Weird.
It's because everybody wants to feel like part of a group too, so that's kind of the other subconscious part about it too.
Yeah,
is that it's like everything's polarized because nobody feels good about who they are in particular anymore, so they have to feel good being part of a group now.
Mm-hmm. So if everybody's doing this, I'm going to be a lemming too, and we're all going to jump off together, and it's okay because I'm with my friends.
Pretty much, yeah. That's about how the world goes at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. So, starting to wrap up towards the end, I always like to do words of wisdom at the show. Usually brings the show up to a high note. Not that this has been like a low note, this has been a pretty fun conversation. It's been kind of light, but I always like to, again, end with words of wisdom. So if there was any words of wisdom that you might want to bestow on the listeners today, what might it be?
Ask why. That's it. Just ask. Ask questions.
Hey, Inquiries of Our Reality, exactly what the show's called. That was perfect.
Good.
And for anybody that enjoyed our conversation, they heard about your podcast and it sounds like something they might want to go and check out. Where can everybody find you on the internet and where can everybody find your podcast and your work?
Yeah, so you can find me, our Instagram page is Haunted Strange Pod. You can find us over there. We're also The Haunted and the Strange on Facebook. You can find us wherever you listen. The Haunted and the Strange. Every Tuesday, we air a new one, and they're usually pretty good.
And of course, I will add the links down in the show description so everybody can find it quick and easy. And I appreciate you making the time to come on today. We'll definitely have to come back around and do some type of like a round table or just like open conversation, because I feel like we could go on for a lot more and we got a lot of different stuff we can dive into next time, because we only really touched the paranormal. We still got cryptids, UFOs, all the other fun stuff to dive into.
All the fun stuff. Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. It's been great.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. 5 stars would be absolutely fantastic. And of course, if I get some of those, I will read them on the show and gave you guys a big shout out. It's been a hot minute since I've gotten a review at all. So if you guys don't mind dropping one, I would greatly appreciate it. And if you know anybody that would really enjoy this episode or the show as a whole, don't forget to share the show through word of mouth with a friend. Awesome way to help the show grow. And the only way the show is going to continue to keep growing and be able to get even more fantastic guests on is with your guys' help, pushing it up in the algorithms, making it so that everybody is aware of Inquiries of Our Reality, of course. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share fan art, you just want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want me to be a guest on your show, you want to sponsor the show, anything whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones I'm the most active on, or you guys can email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form. There's a couple submission forms. Make sure you guys go to the contact me one. And if you guys have an encounter to report, you guys can go to the contact or report an encounter tab that's over there on the link tree. But everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.